Hey, good Wednesday morning. Mike Causa here on your turn, and glad to have you with us. We are here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Got a fact-filled show today. We're going to be talking with Chris Farrell from the Legislative Department of the National Active and Retired Federal Employees about a variety of things, including the upcoming COLA, how the Consumer Price Index is figured, and other things. And then we'll switch over to Andy Medici and talk about buyouts, agencies that are talking about layouts, layoffs, and protecting people from sequestration and furloughs in the future. But first off, Chris Farrell. Chris, are you with us?
I am, Mike.
Hey, thank you for standing by, and I wanted to thank you publicly. I have known Chris for literally decades now, and he has been a major resource and a go-to guy whenever we have a problem, not just about retirement matters, but about anything legislative in the federal department. And we lean heavily on David Snell, your colleague, and Jessica Clement, who runs the legislative and the public affairs operations there at NARF. And we've had everybody on, but it's a treat to have you, Chris.
Thank you.
Let's start off with the big news, and this is for people who get Social Security. This is for people who get civil service annuities. This is for people who get retired military pay, and there are some people who get two or all three of them. It's an earned benefit, but they get them, and that's the COLA, the cost of living adjustment for January. Where is that at now?
With 5 months still remaining, it's at 1.35.
Okay, so that means inflation could go up, inflation could go down. So 1.35 is just, as you said, it's where it is now.
Yeah, and the final calculation will come out on a day that our members circle on their calendars, on October 22nd, the September release, the release of September inflation data.
Now, I think this, it's a mystery to people how this is figured, because they go to the supermarket and hamburger is up. They go to the auto repair place and something they got fixed last year costs more. They see their health insurance premium rising, and yet according to the government, the inflation rate is only up 1.35%, as you said, midway in the countdown here, or the fifth with 5 months to go. How does the government figure inflation? How do they measure the cost of living?
Well, they actually don't want it so much to be called an inflation measure, but it's the closest thing, so it's used. But consumer price indices are based on observation of consumer prices across a wide variety of products and services. The market basket of goods and services is somewhat controversial. We'll argue about it some. Our members buy the products and services that are going up relentlessly, like healthcare, but they are observed. The prices are observed by enumerators from the Labor Department in major and minor markets all across the country, assembled with great secrecy and delicacy. In fact, the only two people that get the information before it goes public are the Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor Statistics and the Chairman of the Federal Reserve. And therein lies another date that our people that watch numbers and inflation might be interested in. The next release of consumer price indices is on June 17th, and the next day, June 18th, is when the Federal Open Markets Committee concludes a two-day meeting, and the Fed chairwoman will have a press conference.
That's absolutely fascinating. I had no idea it was kept that secret, and it went to those two people. What's the reason for that?
Well, it affects so many parts of our economy on a monthly basis. For our members, there are a couple of red letter days, as I was mentioning, October 22nd, when the final puzzle piece comes out. But contracts have escalators in them based on these numbers. Several of the indices, the CPIU and the CPIW, they're bargained. They're parts of collective bargaining agreements and other arrangements throughout the economy.
Excuse me, I had a coughing fit there. Chris, this, unlike, pardon my voice here, it'll return. Unlike the jobs information that comes out of the Labor Department, the CPI is final once it's set. The jobs information seems to me is revised every month.
Yeah, in fact, one of the points of contention now about measuring inflation is whether or not to go to something that might be a more accurate measure of consumer behavior. And the one that has been much in the news is the chain CPI. And it, in fact, relies on a look-back provision so that it isn't quite final with the way the CPIW, the current statutory index, is set. We rely on just these specific release dates now, but if a chain CPI were to come into effect, it would be a little bit more like the jobs number, and it would take a further on observation to determine exactly what it is.
Why they call it the chained CPI?
It's to look at consumer behavior impacted by real-time events, and so its supporters popularize it as more accurate based on using largely the substitution effect of people buying different sets of goods based on changes in their prices.
Well, I know your boss, Jessica Clement, has been on the show a number of times, and she has said repeatedly that the chain CPI is one of the greatest threats facing federal workers, not just retirees, but federal workers, too, because it would mean a permanent lifetime reduction in their annuities.
Indeed, it would compound because it over time it has, since it was devised by the Labor Department and tracked, it just generally tracked lower than either of the other two indices. And we know that our members are buying the things that have relentlessly increased in price, healthcare. They buy almost nothing, particularly our survivors and least well-off members, buy very little high-end electronics, a set of goods that have that depress consumer prices. So they're much impacted by the factors that change most with the greatest volatility, like food, energy, and least by some of the high-end electronics and products that last longer, like automobiles.
Well, so if the chain CPI were in effect today, if that was the calculation used to determine the cost of living adjustments, each future COLA for retirees would be a part of a percentage less than it would under the current system. And you pointed out about compounding. When people think about compounding, they mostly think about things going up. But you can compound in reverse. You can compound down. And I believe Jessica Clement has said that for a typical retiree over a typical lifetime in retirement, the loss to them, the annuity they would not get, would be around $38,000.
Yes, indeed. In fact, I think that may be a 25-year calculation that is part of our calculator on the NARF website.
Well, now, last year, the chain CPI, even though it wasn't a big threat on a lot of employee and retiree radar, because it is complex, it's hard to understand, and it sounds funny, the chain CPI, but it was a big deal because it was being pushed particularly by budget reformers, I put the reformer in quotes, in the House. But the Obama administration joined in last year, and they put it in the president's budget. Now, apparently, it was taken out this year, primarily for political reasons, because the federal unions objected to it, and the administration said, well, we're going to give it a pass this year. But presumably it's going to come back as a proposal of both the Congress and the administration.
Well, it received a lot of support by both the major commissions that looked at grand bargains. They proposed that it be a way to share pain across the economy and different age cohorts. But it has been singled out and popularized by the fact that it was in the president's budgets for a couple years in a row. And not being in the budget doesn't remove it very far at all from currency. It is still on the minds of many people that want to throttle entitlement spending, either by itself or as part of grand bargains.
Chris, I want to pick up on the change CPI, but we need to take a short break here. We'll be right back on federalnewsradio.com, 1500 AM. Be right back.
Discover what it takes to become a pilot at the National Air and Space Museum Stephen F. Udvar-Hazy Center in Chantilly, Virginia. Join them for the 10th annual Become a Pilot Family Day and Aviation Display. See dozens of visiting aircraft on display for one day only. Enjoy hands-on activities, story times, and kite flying demonstrations. Saturday, June 14th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., sponsored by Booz Allen Hamilton. WTOP is a proud media sponsor. Visit airandspace.si.edu. For details.
Social Security. It's not as simple as you think. There are over 2,700 rules with millions of possible combinations. Making a mistake could cost you thousands upon thousands of dollars. Learn how to maximize your Social Security benefits. Call Mike Connett and Pro Status Financial Advisors Group today at 866-597-1040. That's 866-597-1040. And don't miss the Savvy Investor Radio Show with Mike Connett, Sunday mornings at 8 here on 1500 AM.
Hi, this is Jim Fleisig. Please join me on Tuesday, May 27th at 12 noon for my monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. The program will focus on information and intelligent sharing, progress, and best practices. The panel includes government leaders from DIA and ODNI. Don't miss the Federal Executive Forum on Tuesday, May 27th at 12 noon, right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com.
Sponsored by Juniper Networks, GuidePoint Security, and Splunk.
Psoriasis and vitiligo are serious diseases. You've tried everything and have been disappointed. Now there's XTRAC, a breakthrough treatment that provides long-lasting, safe relief. XTRAC is FDA cleared for the treatment of psoriasis and vitiligo and is endorsed by thousands of dermatologists and hospitals because it works. Clinical studies show immediate results with up to 95% clearance. The in-office visits are fast, painless, with virtually no side effects. With thousands of providers treating patients all over the country, XTRAC is covered by all major insurance companies and Medicare. We'll help you find a doctor close by. And there is no cost to you until you see results. Get your life back. Live free. Live XTRAC clear. For your no-cost treatment, call now 800-959-9852. That's 800-959-9852. 800-959-9852. Or visit xtracradio.com. Qualified patients, certain restrictions apply. Results may vary.
Hey, Mom. Why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why isn't 11 pronounced 1-T-1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey here. I'm talking with Chris Farrell. He's in the Legislative Department of the National Active and Retired Federal Employees and been a longtime resource for me and all of us here at Federal News Radio and everybody covering the the federal active and retiree community. And we were talking about the chain CPI. That would be a new measurement, or they would switch to a new measurement for finding out what the cost of living is, and that would affect each January raise for retirees in the future. And Chris, the goal here, I think a lot of people think that feds are always singled out. The goal here really isn't the federal retirees, and it isn't military retirees, it's Social Security, correct?
Yeah, and when you mentioned that where the objection came, it came from a very broad swath of organizations representing the elderly. This was an issue that engaged the 800-pound gorilla, AARP. We work closely always on COLA with the Military Officers Association. And we will continue to do that because while it's complicated or in a way a riddle, this really was salient to our members. They get it, and they engaged on it. This is the message that we were able to get our members to send traffic, mostly email traffic that we can track, to their members on the Hill. And we sent it, actually. It was popular because we sent it to both ends of Pennsylvania. Avenue, and we think that it made our members feel that they were being effective because they were telling both the executive branch and their legislators what their opinion was. And while they may have differing opinions about the notion of shared sacrifice, they surely saw themselves being singled out because the proposals pending before the Congress were not broadly requesting sacrifices like the Simpson-Bowles Commission, targeting just the changed CPI piece.
Right, and this is the kind of thing, when you look at it, unless you're living off the grid, if you're in Alaska somewhere hunting moose and grabbing salmon and you know, living off the land, this is going to affect everybody in the country, because everybody in the country who works, or even those people who are disabled, will either get a federal annuity, a military retired pay, or Social Security benefits. So you're looking at yourself, you're looking at your parents, you're looking at your children. This is everybody in the country. Talk about a shared sacrifice.
It was. It is. We know that it has maybe more support among younger age cohorts.
Yeah.
But it is. Everyone's concerned about their elderly parents, their grandparents. So it was something that we got a lot of buy-in from our members of all ages. And we were part of the group that was effective. We're glad that it was taken out of the president's most recent budget proposal, but we know full well that it's not far away. And we're actually working on an alternative. We're proposing that our members encourage their House members to support a Mike Honda bill to base the cost of living adjustment on the CPIE. It's an experimental measure that the BLS has worked on, the Labor Department has worked on, to more accurately focus on a market basket of goods and services bought by the elderly. I guess maybe defining that at from age 62 on.
And so the idea is that you want them to measure things that older people typically buy every month, every week, as opposed to refrigerators, as you pointed out, flat screen TVs. And I think even college tuition is included in that, isn't it?
I believe it is.
So it's
maybe the most controversial thing that's been part of the CPI, or one which I know there's legislation proposed, is like tobacco taxes. There was a proposal to take them out of the CPI, both the CPIU and the CPIW, because they had been going up quite quickly as state legislatures were trying to find revenue and discourage smoking.
Yeah, amazing. You realize how intertwined we all are, and when you get into this thing, you think, I'm prepared to make a sacrifice, and then you look at it and how many people it impacts, and then everyone backs off. At the same time, I was talking to an administration official last year, and he said, you know, Social Security, as you said, is the 800-pound gorilla in the room, and something's got to be done about Social Security. Everybody agrees to that, but nobody wants to touch it. And that's why they were thinking with the Simpson-Bowles Commission that President Obama appointed, that it would be like the BRAC, the Base Realignment and Closure Commission. You'd come up with a list of unpopular, unsavory recommendations, but the Congress would vote them up or down. But on this chain CPI, they've been very reluctant to touch it.
Very reluctant, and it was proof that the engagement of the citizens, and particularly facing a midterm election where the elderly are much more likely to vote, than younger cohorts.
You probably answered most of this, but I got an email from a guy who says he is a NARF member in Emporia, Kansas, and he says what you have, that prices are going up, health insurance is going up, the things that he needs to buy are going up, and yet the consumer price index at the fifth month of the countdown says they're due only 1.35%.
I believe each of our members has their own version of the of inflation, and inflation doesn't affect our consumer prices vary by purchasing pattern of and I like to think of the substitution effect is really not much in play for the little old lady eating cat food.
Yeah.
There isn't much lower price protein available, so. Different people are affected different by prices, and commissions that have studied this have gone in with a stacked deck, and it's no wonder that the Boskin Commission found that the current methodology overstates inflation, because the people they put on the panel professed that before they were impaneled.
Right, and some of them come to these hearings and commission meetings, too, in chauffeur-driven limousines. It's hard to consider them part of the masses. Well, you know, the example they use is you go from steak to hamburger to chicken to cat food, dog food. But as you were saying, if you have a member who is already having a cat food a couple times a week, there's no really place to go.
Indeed. And we feel for those members. You know, they are meticulous about recording the food staples that they most rely on, and they will point out to us in no uncertain terms just what has happened to them in recent weeks. They also, our members in the Northeast have pointed out to us the fuel oil that they rely on for heating in the wintertime.
Yeah, a bad winter such as the one we had, a prolonged bad winter can make a big difference there. Chris, we're here it is May. We're 5 months into the cost of living countdown. So about August, September, people are going to start looking at the numbers, crunching the numbers. And let's say it goes up to 2.5%. It's 1.35 now. No guarantee of anything. Could go down. But let's say it goes up to 2.5%. And October, when the figures, you said all retirees have the October 22nd date circled on their calendar, that's when we know what the cost of living adjustment, the COLA, is going to be for 2015. So it comes out, and we're speculating now, say it's 2.5%. By that time, federal workers are going to know what their January 2015 pay raise is going to be, and very likely that'll be 1%. So you say 1% if I stay, schlup to the office every day, go through another nasty winter and work, and I'm sort of demoralized anyhow. Or do I retire and get the 2.5% COLA? How does that work?
You are the best proponent of their spokesperson for the prorated nature of COLAs. You use only the months for which a person was fully retired to calculate their participation in receiving a cost of living adjustment. And so to receive the full amount, you have to have been retired for all 12 months of the calendar of the measurement year.
Okay, so there. By then, you're just talking about a tiny, tiny piece of whatever the COLA is.
Yeah, this cannot be part of a real high part of your retirement calculation, of your date to depart calculation.
You've been around a long time. We've looked at these various issues together, and there's the same old for a lot of them. But I notice in Joe Davidson's column in the Post this morning, talking about a new study which shows that federal employee morale is low. People are demoralized. The Partnership for Public Service has come out with this thing, and it's reviewed people and had consultants look at it. Without being overly cynical, I'm trying to think of a time when we ever saw a report that said morale was good. Can you think of it?
Well, after the day after the Kennedy inauguration. That was a pretty resounding call to a public service.
1960. So that's
61.
That's a while.
Yeah, it's a
but,
long while.
But I mean, there does seem to be a sameness to this. And okay, listen, Chris, want to thank you very much for being. Oh, okay, we're gonna take a short break here. Okay. All right, Lauren Larson's giving me the signal in there. By the way, Lauren's had a rough work schedule. She covers sports in her spare time, and she was at that 15-inning game the other night.
So was I.
Were you really? Okay, you two are among the walking wounded. Listen, short break here, federalnewsradio.com, Federal News Radio 1500, and we'll be right back talking with Chris Farrell.
ESVA, an IBM business partner, offers all of IBM's software solutions to the public sector, including IBM i2 Analyst Notebook Premium. Discover a solution that simplifies communication of complex data, improves the detection rate of key information for existing data, and speeds up the intelligence analysis cycle with a single, rich, data-centric environment. Visit them at esvainc.com/ibm.htm and find out more on how to improve your agency's mission today. That's esvainc.com/ibm.htm.
Would you trust someone with disabilities to test high-tech protective combat gear? Our armed forces do. Source America provides the military with a highly trained, exceptional workforce, people with significant disabilities. In fact, Source America provides vital expertise to thousands of federal customers across the country. For everything from contract closeouts to food service to call center support. Learn more at sourceamerica.org. An Ability One authorized enterprise.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
With your Mayo Clinic Radio Health Minute, I'm Vivian Williams.
What happens when that time of the month doesn't happen?
Once the pregnancy is ruled out, we do look probably more at endocrinopathies like thyroid disease or elevated prolactin levels.
But not all menstrual irregularity is a sign of a medical problem. Dr. Jacqueline Thielen, a women's health specialist at Mayo Clinic, says certain medications, significant weight loss, even training for a marathon could have an effect. Plus,
we do see stress, significant stress that can result in irregularity in the menses.
While not having your period is generally not a big deal, Dr. Thielen says premature menopause can be.
And if the ovaries aren't working and not producing the hormones that they're supposed to be producing, that's problematic.
For more information, talk with your doctor or visit mayoclinic.org.
What makes Train different? Better. Unstoppable. Your local Train distributor will donate a portion of their profits to a worthy military charity. Visit trainsearch.com to locate a Train Comfort Specialist dealer near you.
Trust is a critical factor between federal managers and their employees. Without it, whistleblowers are retaliated against, minor Hatch Act violations receive severe punishments, and unsuitable employees are given security clearances. This week, Federal News Radio explores how several recent incidents have eroded federal employee trust in government and what it will take to restore it. Check out our special report, Trust Redefined, Reconnecting Government and Its Employees, Tuesday through Thursday on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Search Trust.
Welcome back to Your Turn. I'm talking with Chris Farrell from the Legislative Department of the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. Chris, during the break, I mentioned that Lauren Larson, our producer, was at the game, that 15-inning game, and you said you were too. She wants to know if you stayed the course.
No, I had to go for the last train departure at 11:20.
I bet a lot of people did. Well, Lauren has to, because actually her job begins when the games are over. So that was a longest day kind of thing.
I ushered at RFK the first year the team came to Washington.
Oh, interesting, interesting, fascinating.
Sideline job.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, back to the morale situation, and you pointed out that quite correctly that there seemed to be an enthusiasm, particularly among young people, for government service during the Kennedy years and the Peace Corps and all that sort of thing. But it seems to me, ever since, regardless of whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, when they take these surveys that people say morale is bad, and you kind of wonder where are we heading? Where are we heading?
It is difficult times, and I think when the partnership put on its panel discussion, they were wise to bring in the best performing of federal agencies, and it's the culture is not across the board. It is affected by how the mission can be personalized, internalized, and that is so often the case because people see it as a calling, that even though they'll report that the morale is low, that is for public consumption, it doesn't deter their eagerness to come to their job daily and to perform it at the best of their abilities. So I would like to see the trend line going up, but I'm not convinced that there will be a rush to the exits. It's an economic calculation, but it's also a mission calculation that prompts when our members make the decision to retire.
Right. Well, and you know you're looking at a situation too. Unemployment is slowly getting better, but a lot of people say that the jobs that are being created, the jobs that are available out there, aren't as well paying as those jobs before the recession hit, the 2008 recession, and that for government workers, this tsunami, which people have been warning about literally since 1999, this tidal wave of the best and the brightest and the most experienced going out the government, it just hasn't materialized.
But it still is a threat, and that means that phased retirement really needs to be brought out as quickly as possible. I know OPM is posting that it's to be out soon. But that's just the mentoring factor that would be available there, the transition from full-time to partial work and partial retirement. It's just a win-win situation.
Well, I'm going to ask him when he comes on, but Andy Medici said last week that he had run into Director Archuleta, and he asked her about phased retirement, and she said soon, and he couldn't pin her down more than that, but he thinks it will be this summer.
Well, let's hope for an early part of summer.
Okay, now here's another problem. You're planning to retire from the government, and yet there's this backlog at OPM of processing claims so that people get their full annuity check. It's nothing new. It's been going on forever. It's a difficult process, as we've always said. It's a paper process. Some people have boxes, documents from various federal agencies that have to be eyeballed and looked at to see if they owe the government money, to see if their service time is correct, if they had breaks in service. What would you recommend for somebody who's thinking about retirement in the next 6 months?
I think Senator Mark Warner's advice is to the agencies also applies to the individual. You know, go upstream as an individual if you have records or can put together a timeline. I think that will be helpful to the people in the bunker at Boyers. But what Mark Warner wanted is the agencies to keep better records and solve this problem in a global fashion rather than rely on doing it one person at a time.
Talked to your colleague David Snell the other day. I sent him an email that I got from a woman who I believe is with Housing and Urban Development, and she said that they've simply lost her records. She's planning to retire in the next few months, and they've lost her records. And what do you do in a case like that? Work forever?
I wonder if people that are in FERS will have their employment history at Social Security Administration, but I don't know. CSRS, that could be just... maybe you hope you never lost a pay stub.
We've got divided government now. The Republicans controlling the House, Democrats the Senate, the Democrat in the White House. Some people refer to it as gridlock. We also have the fact that this is a midterm election year, and politicians are out campaigning. We had six primaries in the country yesterday, including Mitch McConnell, who won the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate from Kentucky.
Handily.
Yes, yeah, the Tea Party didn't faze him. But again, he's kind of a special case, too. The minority leader, potentially the majority leader, if the Republicans take the Senate. But what do you see happening this year, given the fact that we've got gridlock, which is not always a bad thing for federal workers, particularly when they're talking about doing bad things, but we have gridlock and we have the election mania?
Well, I think the telling public policy is going to be infrastructure and the expiration of the Highway Trust Fund ability to send money to state departments of transportation to continue road maintenance and road building projects. It cries out for a bipartisan solution, and it's a function that really doesn't involve many federal employees at all. But it could be solved. And people are suggesting that it will be solved, but is it going to be done in a piecemeal fashion, a very short duration extension?
Okay, well, Chris Farrell, thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate it, and we'll get you back here soon. We need to take a short break here on 1500 AM. We'll be right back.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Chris.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM every other Friday morning at 11. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth, Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. John Desenberg of the Performance Institute and blogger for FedManager.com joins Fed Talk to discuss how to improve performance across the federal workforce.
This is John Gilroy from Fed Tech Talk. Wanted to tell you about a local company that has had a national impact on airline safety. For the past three decades, Electromech has worked with federal agencies to make sure aircraft wiring is safe and reliable. Electromech is responsible for testing, inspecting, and analyzing a wide range of electrical wire interconnect systems. For a white paper on addressing fleet management needs, please visit electromech.com. That's electromec.com.
The American Veterans Center invites you to attend the 2014 National Memorial Day Parade, Monday, May 26th at 2 p.m. along Constitution Avenue. Join thousands as we honor the sacrifices of our military from the American Revolution to today, featuring musical performances, marching bands, celebrities, and active duty personnel, all made possible with support from Strayer University, Wells Fargo, and visitmyrtlebeach.com. To learn more about how you can see the parade, visit nationalmemorialdayparade.com.
Psoriasis and vitiligo are serious diseases. You've tried everything and have been disappointed. Now there's X-Track, a breakthrough treatment that provides long-lasting, safe relief. X-Track is FDA cleared for the treatment of psoriasis and vitiligo and is endorsed by thousands of dermatologists and hospitals because it works. Clinical studies show immediate results with up to 95% clearance. The in-office visits are fast, painless, with virtually no side effects. With thousands of providers treating patients all over the country, X-Track is covered by all major insurance companies and Medicare. We'll help you find a doctor close by, and there is no cost to you until you see results. Get your life back. Live free. Live X-Track clear. For your no-cost treatment, call now 800-959-9852. That's 800-959-9852. 800-959-9852. Or visit xtracradio.com. Qualified patients, certain restrictions apply. Results may vary.
When you ask most doctors why they became doctors, the answers are usually pretty simple. Something like, I want to help my fellow man, or I just want to make people feel better. It's the rare doctor that gives an answer like, I find insurance forms fascinating. I could read them all day. No, most doctors wouldn't answer that way. Certainly not Kaiser Permanente doctors. They don't want to crunch numbers or push papers or fill out forms. Why would they? They're doctors. They became doctors to practice medicine, to ease pain, to help people. So we at Kaiser Permanente are quite happy to let them do that very thing, without any of the other distractions doctors have these days, which explains why so many of the finest doctors come to work for Kaiser Permanente, because they get to focus only, solely, exclusively on their patients, which is exactly how their patients like it. We're Kaiser Permanente. Our doctors want to help you live long and thrive. Join us at kp.org.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Attend a free educational event June 3rd at the Washington, D.C. Convention Center designed to bring together the federal chief financial officer and chief information officer communities and explore the importance of this relationship. The discussion will focus on how the CIO and CFO communities are collaborating to create an agenda, recruiting and retaining the right workforce, and innovating in an era of declining budgets. This event sponsored by AGA and Affirm. For more information, visit agacgfm.org/CIOCFO_summit.
The news is we're all going to live. That was just a test, but I wonder if somebody in FEMA doesn't like us. They seem to do these a lot on the show. But anyhow, my next guest is familiar to people who are regular listeners, Andy Medici, writer with Federal Times. And Andy, how you doing?
It's always good to be here, Mike.
Good. Thank you for doing it. Listen, you said the magic words in we were exchanging emails back and forth, and what are we going to talk about? And you said, why don't we talk about which agencies are offering buyouts and which aren't? So, wow.
Well, you're right. The buyouts are not in as large numbers as they have been in previous years, and some agencies aren't. But, you know, just to quickly go through the list, the Social Security Administration is offering employees early out opportunities. They expect 200 to 300 people to take them this year. And the Agriculture Department is probably going to be offering up to 100 buyouts this year because it's reorganizing some of its field offices around the country. So there will be some buyouts there. But on the flip side, the VA, for example, hasn't requested buyout or early out authorities for this year, and neither has the Justice Department. And actually, the Justice Department is moving in the other direction. They've had a hiring freeze for a while. They've lifted it a couple months ago, and they're actually looking to restore some of the about 4,000 staff cuts they've made over the last few years. So, you know, there's activity there, and you know, buyouts and not buyouts, but not in as high volume as we've seen in the past.
Yeah, and you say Social Security, there'll be early outs, but not buyouts.
Right, exactly. They're just looking at offering deals to people to reduce the workforce, but also, you know, there are a lot more older workers in Social Security that they're looking to offer these deals to, as opposed to just reducing the workforce overall, which is what buyouts would do.
Yeah, right. Sometimes those of us who look at the, quote, big picture, look at these numbers and say that's not very much, or that an early out is not the same as a buyout. But the people at Social Security have run the demographics, and they probably have people in mind who are likely candidates for this.
Right, exactly. A lot of these agencies do the research beforehand, and they have an idea of the goals they want to reach, the numbers they want to reach, and you're right, they probably have a good idea of who they would like to take it. Whether or not those are the people that end up doing so is another story, but they are offering those early outs.
I know since buyouts started in the 1990s, the statistics are that when an agency offers a buyout with an early out, they have a great take rate. If they offer an early out alone, a standalone early out with no buyout, no $25,000 payment, less than 2% take it.
Right. Well, you're right about that extra bit of incentive. You know, yeah. When you take that early out, it's nice to be able to leave with a bit of money there. And you know how a lot of buyouts are structured. You don't get the whole $25,000 right away. It's split up. But that money is, you know, important to be able to transition into whatever the next phase of your life is, whether it's retirement or second career or something like that. So you're right. That makes it much more attractive, and when you don't offer that package, the rate's lower.
That's a good point, because the Postal Service, I think, spread them over 2 or 3 years, and they were, in some cases, smaller, $20,000. And in the regular civil service, if you get a $25,000 buyout after deductions, it may be a one-time payment, but it's more like $16,000 to $18,000. But that could be important, I would think, in this era of the delay in processing the retirement applications. For instance, you retire thinking you're going to get an annuity of $2,000 a month, but the government, for whatever reason, estimates they give you a lot lesser amount. It's anywhere from 80 to, we've heard, as low as 40%. And until they adjudicate that, until they get the paperwork processed and get you going, you are living in some cases on less than half rations.
You're definitely right, and it's funny that you're always able to tie it right back to retirement and to pension, and in a lot of cases, you know, those payments really are much lower than people are expecting. Those early outs can help smooth the way, but also for, you know, federal employees who they want to do something else, they want to either take some training or do something else, that extra money, even though it's not a lot, really does help smooth the way, whether it's from those undervalued annuity payments or whether it's from something else that they've always wanted to do in their lives.
Right. I think all of us have heard from people who had to dip into their emergency savings or even had to tap their thrift savings plan accounts before they wanted to or would otherwise need to because of this shortfall in their annuity. So that can be a real problem. You talk about, and I heard it earlier this morning on our station, this bill that would protect, was it 170,000 Army, Navy, Air Force civilians from furloughs in the future? How would that work?
Right. Well, it's essentially prohibiting DOD from furloughing employees who are paid through working capital funds. So, parts of DOD and parts of the services that pay their employees through fees that they charge other agencies or to other groups or to sort of revolving door capital funds that don't need year-to-year appropriations. So that works out to about 170,000 employees who, the argument goes, if you furlough them, you're not saving anyone any money. There's no benefit to doing so. So they should be exempted from future furloughs. And, you know, that is a huge chunk of the workforce. It's not, you know, it's not all the workforce, but it's a big chunk. And people are really interested in to see, you know, how much progress that makes in the House and the Senate.
Andy, the scandal du jour is the VA, the Department of Veterans Affairs, and Secretary Shinseki was, as you could say, summoned to the White House this morning. The president has said he stands behind him, but we've heard that before, even as people were pushed off a cliff. So far, there's one high-ranking VA official who, quote, air quotes, resigned, but he was going to retire this year anyhow, and it's already May. You think a lot of heads are going to roll there, including the Shinsekis?
Well, I think it depends on how far up this goes. You know, when we were a couple years ago, there was the GSA issue with the elaborate conference out west in 2010, and we saw, you know, top leadership forced to resign essentially, and, you know, 8 or 10 career people were removed from their positions. With the VA thing, you know, the stakes are much higher. There's a lot of bipartisan, you know, agreement and cooperation in areas such as veteran care and patient care at VA hospitals. So depending on, you know, how far this extends, we could see, you know, more resignations. We could see the removal of people at various hospitals. I think the IG has confirmed now that they're looking at problems at 31 hospitals, and that's up from, you know, 21 and then from 10. And so if this keeps expanding the way it is, we're going to see, we're going to see a lot more people being held accountable down the road.
Yeah, I mean, we of course know very little right now, next to nothing, but this could be a problem that's been going on for 20 years.
Right, exactly. And some of these problems, that people are addressing are systemic to, you know, a hospital where it's sort of built into how it's been functioning for so long. It's hard to tell where it begins or where it ends. But, you know, if we thought that other scandals, you know, took a long time to unroll, this is probably going to take a while, and it's going to involve a lot of people and a lot of time.
Yeah, so it's not over yet.
It's never really going to be over. You know, we have, as you know, I'm sure, there are issues with agencies that have gone on for years, and it seems that the scandal is really just part of a longer chain, and, you know, there'll be a new Congress, and they'll uncover something else, and it'll be part of that problem. So it's rooting out that problem that is the issue here.
And sometimes when you get the first crack, the chink in the armor, somebody comes forward, and then all of a sudden whistleblowers, some of them from long ago, come forward, and it becomes a groundswell.
Well, exactly. I think in this case, you probably will have a lot of people providing information who used to work there. You know, a lot of employees, you know, we've talked about this before, that a lot of employees don't feel comfortable coming forward. They either think that they'll be exposed, they'll be denied promotions or raises. And in many cases, that turns out to be true. So a lot of this information ends up coming from people who most recently worked there but have since retired. And don't have the same stakes in play, and we'll probably see a lot more of that as the months go by.
In a note we exchanged, you and I, you said the Air Force had cut its headquarters staff 20% in 1 year. Is that right?
Well, yeah. What they're doing is they're cutting as we speak, and Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel said that all the services have to cut headquarters staff by 20% over 5 years, and the Air Force says, you know, that will be done by the end of 2015.
Now, I wonder if that's good government, because, you know, they always say don't give money back to Congress because next year they'll appropriate less. If they give you 5 years to cut 20% and you say we did it in a year, then they're going to come back in another year and maybe come at you for some more cuts.
No, you know, you're right. It's the idea of how, you know, spending up to your budget. But I think in this case, there's already things that they're cutting that they'd rather not, and the Air Force, along with the other services, are really being pushed to cut everywhere they can to keep some of the projects that they want, and of course some of the projects that Congress wants them to do too. And the margins here are much thinner than they have been in year past. So, you know, if the Air Force wants some projects to last 2016, 2017, 2018, cutting some of those positions in 2015 seems to be their plan to be able to do that.
Real good. Andy, thank you so much for being with us. We'll talk to you next week.
Always a pleasure, Mike.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, I want to remind people we're going to have a web chat. Lauren, is that the 28th Wednesday with Catherine Archuleta? She's a director of the Office of Personnel Management, and you can email her questions, and we will. It should be very interesting. I think we've got several hundred questions so far from people. So go on our website. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. It's on the website too. So very good. All right. Have a good week. We'll see you here next Wednesday at 10 a.m.
Here's Bob Breeze, CIO of the Department of Energy, on Ask the CIO, sponsored by IBM and ESVA.
Bob Breeze is the Energy Department's CIO.
With respect to virtual desktop interface, that pilot program that we started 18 months ago is in the process of transitioning to production. We've had about 500 or 600 people in pilot mode for well over a year now. I use it every day, and I absolutely love it.
To listen to the whole show, visit federalnewsradio.com/AskTheCIO.
ESVA, an IBM business partner, offers all of IBM's software solutions to the public sector, including IBM i2 Analyst Notebook Premium. Discover a solution that simplifies communication of complex data, improves the detection rate of key information for existing data, and speeds up the intelligence analysis cycle with a single, rich, data-centric environment. Visit them at esvainc.com/ibm.htm and find out more on how to improve your agency's mission today. That's esvainc.com/ibm.htm.
Psoriasis and vitiligo are serious diseases. You've tried everything and have been disappointed. Now there's X-Track, a breakthrough treatment that provides long-lasting, safe relief. X-Track is FDA-cleared for the treatment of psoriasis and vitiligo and is endorsed by thousands of dermatologists and hospitals because it works. Clinical studies show immediate results with up to 95% clearance. The in-office visits are fast, painless, with virtually no side effects. With thousands of providers treating patients all over the country, X-Track is covered by all major insurance companies and Medicare. We'll help you find a doctor close by, and there is no cost to you until you see results. Get your life back. Live free. Live X-Track Clear. For your no-cost treatment, call now 800-959-9852. That's 800-959-9852. 800-959-9852. Or visit xtracradio.com. Qualified patients, certain restrictions apply. Results may vary.
Mythics Consulting is hiring. Mythics is an award-winning Oracle Platinum partner working to enable the Oracle-powered enterprise. And Mythics Consulting is looking for IT professionals that get the job done. Available positions in enterprise Oracle solution areas like engineered systems and Fusion middleware. Mythics Consulting is the go-to Oracle systems integrator with open positions and ready to hire highly skilled IT sales and technical professionals. Go to mythics.com/careers.